Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of the Cyril Jr. Quinn Sports Podcast on this Sunday, January 21st, 2018, Championship Sunday in the NFL. As we talk, we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. The call number always is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Instagram at Brillo Gerald Quinn, at Brillo Gerald Quinn. iTunes.apple.com, looking up Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Just a couple of hours, roughly two hours away from the beginning of the AFC Championship with New England hosting Jacksonville. They rotate every year which game goes first. You have New England, Jacksonville first, then followed that, be followed of course by Philly and Minnesota. In both these games, the weather will not be a factor for the most part. No precipitation, extremely cold winds. Basically, the weather's going to be the same for both. For both places, Foxborough and D.C., not D.C., Foxborough and Philadelphia, about 45, 46 degrees. That game should not be a factor for either team, especially for the road teams in Jacksonville and Minnesota. And, you know, you look at this Final Four, and to no one's surprise, it is the New England Patriots. Even the fact that they've been here seven straight years, and you have some new teams, some fresh faces. You know, you have the journeyman quarterbacks. It is the New England Patriots that again are commanding all the attention, and that of course is due to the right throwing hand of one Tom Brady, who earlier this week in practice. Cut his hand. The entire story has come out. Cut his hand on a handoff from Rex Buckhead. Cut his hand, and it was required 4 stitches. Brady will play, as we all knew he would. Question is how is he gonna look? You know, what is he gonna wear over that hand? More likely, he'll be wearing a glove. How would that affect his play, his accuracy? Again, from the Patriots, the way they play, their style of play, as far as offensively, it should not affect him from the standpoint of throwing the ball deep. They can survive that. They are short passing, precision, that type of game, intelligent passing game. They occasionally will take shots deep, but that's not something that is a big part of their arsenal in terms of taking a lot of deep shots with passes. Again, this will be, no one knows how much his injury will affect him until Brady gets out, until game time, until Brady gets out there and you see him start throwing passes. And we just don't know, right? This is a cut. Not like a regular, typical. It's not like a back or some type of knee injury or something. Injuries that you see guys play with a cut hand. Again, you don't know how this is going to affect him. You know, it could affect, you know, you don't know how this is going to affect the play calling. Affect him in terms of play calling. So we'll see what happens over the course of the game. Look at the spreads. You see the at one point, now last time I checked, the spread was still, the line was still 7.5. 7.5 for New England, 3 for Minnesota. That was down to 7 yesterday, but last time I checked, this is back up to 7.5. You have New England giving them 7.5 points. They're giving Minnesota 3 points on the road, which is rare. Not too many. You do not see too many road favorites in a championship, in a conference championship game. That does not happen that often. It's happened before, but it doesn't happen that often. So, just getting started here on this next edition of Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We will break down this game, give you things to look for. Things to look for in both games. We'll have that coming up. We'll have today's headlines, injuries, and much, much more. Just getting started here on this Championship Sunday edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Today's headlines, of course, conference championships, New England, Jacksonville, about round 3:05 Eastern, round 3:05, followed by Philadelphia hosting the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings trying to, you have three to four teams that have never won a Super Bowl with this final four. Of course, New England has 5. Super Bowl rings, and New England will be trying to advance to a 10th Super Bowl. We'll try to make a 10th Super Bowl appearance, and we'll try to win their 6th Super Bowl overall as a franchise in a couple of weeks if they are to advance, which would tie the Pittsburgh Steelers for the most Super Bowl wins of all time. Tom Brady, of course, has 4 stitches in his throwing hand. Of course, he had a cut his hand on a handoff a couple of days ago in practice on the helmet of Rex Burkhead, the running back. So Brady will have indeed 4 stitches in his right throwing hand. Tennessee has hired Mike Vrabel, former defensive coordinator, to be their head coach. Again, Mike Vrabel was former defensive coordinator, just 1 year. Just spent 1 year as a defensive coordinator, a couple of years as a linebackers coach. Has hired him to be their head coach, replacing Mike Mularkey. They have not worked. You know, former coaches from the Belichick coaching trio, or even players who played under Belichick, hasn't worked out well when they become regular head coaches in the NFL now. You know, college-wise, of course, you've seen what Nick Saban has done with Alabama, but even him at in pros didn't work out too well in Miami. It wasn't terrible, but of course, you know, he didn't have done all about most of his damage as a coach in with the Alabama Crimson Tide, not with the Miami Dolphins. 347-215-6180 is the call number on the station edition of Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Championship Sunday in the NFL. As far as injuries, not a lot of report with the injuries. Sandejo of Minnesota, the Minnesota safety, who suffered a concussion in the win over New Orleans, will play tonight. This evening, he was cleared for the concussion protocol. He was had a full practice Friday, so he will play. Of course, he's a major part of big part of their defense, especially in their secondary. That definitely hurt Minnesota when he had to leave the game with a concussion last week. He will play though this week against Philadelphia. And of course, all the New England players of note, Brady, Burkhead, those guys will play as well. Again, no major injuries to report about in regards to Jacksonville. No major injuries to report about in regards to Philadelphia. I mean, Carson Wentz is not going. Wentz is not going to play. Everybody else of importance will play in today's conference championship. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When you return, we'll talk some NBA. We'll talk some NBA and much, much more in this next edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Two marquee NBA games yesterday afternoon. Yesterday with Cleveland, Oklahoma City, Houston, Golden State. As the NBA, seemingly trying to, with football winding down, the NBA trying to claim some of your attention. They started their Saturday primetime games. In regards to the Cleveland Oklahoma City game, again, we know what Cleveland is at this point. Cleveland, they're not going to push all the way in terms of the regular season. They're a team that clearly has a lot of age on it, and they're a team that similar to this. I compare this year with them to 2015. 2014-15 season when LeBron's first year. If you remember, before they made the trade for Shumpert and J.R. Smith, that team was not going anywhere. If you remember, that team was not going anywhere. They played. That team was stale. Even LeBron in his prime, that team wasn't going to go anywhere had they not made a deal. And to me, it's similar this year. They're going to have to make a deal in order to just to get to the finals. Forget about winning a championship. I don't see a move that they can make that will put them over the top to win them, to get them close to Golden State. But just to get to the finals this year, they're going to have to make a move. And they had, you look at their roster. A lot of older players. They have a lot of older players. A lot of players that teams might not want. But what they do have is they do have two first round draft picks. Those are assets that can be used to garnish to get a big time player back. They have two first round picks. One of the picks will be at worst a top 10 pick, maybe even top 5. Who knows? Depending on where the ping pong ball, if you're the number one pick. I mean, who knows? The Nets, we know the Nets are not as bad as they have been in the past. We understand that, but again, that pick could fall anywhere in the top ten. It will definitely be a lottery pick. They have their own first round pick that they have for the first time in a couple of years. So they have two first round picks. They're going to have to make a move to even get to the finals this year. Because clearly, again, this roster, and again, you can say all you want about it, you know, they're not playing hard, they'll turn on in the playoffs. No. Their issues are bigger than that at this point. Their issues are bigger than that. I mean, you give up 148 points in a regulation game, okay, against a team that came in, Oklahoma City is a decent offensive team. Oklahoma City's not a great offensive team. I mean, Oklahoma City came into that game ranked, 12th in offense? So you're not talking about facing, Golden State, Houston, Toronto, some of the other teams that are just high-performing offensive juggernauts. Oklahoma City is not that. It's not that at this point. They're still trying to find their way. And again, you root for that team. And you don't like what you hear out of the locker room in regards to their leader, LeBron James. I mean, LeBron basically, didn't exactly endorse his head coach when he was asked by his head coach. And again, if you're LeBron James, you have to accept hearing those questions because you are the franchise, not just on the court, but in regards to what goes on in the front office. Everybody there understands that decisions don't get made without LeBron James's without LeBron James's blessing. And you know, all those reporters out there in Cleveland, anybody around the NBA that knows that covers the league, that's worth anything, knows LeBron James. That franchise begins and ends with LeBron James. So, it is not, out of the ordinary. Nobody should be surprised to hear reporters asking LeBron James questions about Ty Lue's job security. Because all those reporters know, they know what time it is in Cleveland and how much power LeBron James carries. And again, saying you don't know, that was not a ringing endorsement to Ty Lue. LeBron could easily said, "Hey, we back our coach. I back the coach. We got to do better as players." He didn't easily could have came out of his mouth. That did not come out of LeBron James' mouth. Again, we're talking about a guy in LeBron James who is the king, no pun intended, the king of passive aggressive. Knows how to say something without saying something. There's not an athlete walking. There are guys not in Washington, D.C., in Capitol Hill, who can't politic to on the level of LeBron James. So, again, don't be surprised if this keeps up. That Cleveland again will have a new head coach. For the second time in 3 years. They don't care about the fact that Ty Lue, you know, took him, helped guide them to a championship 2 years ago. We've been in the finals every year since he's been there. They don't care about that. The organization, they don't care about that because they don't respect Ty Lue. It's about LeBron. It's not about Ty Lue. It's about LeBron. This roster was constructed around LeBron. The Kyrie Irving deal was made in partly due to LeBron. See, now, you know, look at their franchise. Now you see what it is. Now you see that they're starting to see some of the negative effects of centering every single thing around one guy and not establishing a culture. Like, San Antonio has a culture. Golden State has a culture. That goes beyond any individual player, Hall of Fame or not. It goes beyond, like, San Antonio's culture goes beyond, went beyond Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, now Kawhi Leonard. Golden State's culture goes bigger than Steph Curry, bigger than Kevin Durant. Man, you need the talent in the NBA. Make a mistake, you know, make no mistake about it. But you still have to have a culture to have sustained success. And when things like this come up, you can turn to your culture to deal with tough times, to deal with difficult times over the course of a season. LeBron is the culture in Cleveland, so, you know, how they respond as a franchise is basically how LeBron is responding. LeBron is their response. (347) 215-6180 is your call number. In regards to the other, the nightcap, Golden State, Houston. Houston, you know, gets a good win. That was a very good NBA regular season game. Game had a lot more intensity than both regular season games. Had a playoff type feel to it. But again, Houston after the game is just doing entirely just too much talking. Like, it is a January now. Outside, no, listen, I like what Chris Paul said. You know, Chris Paul basically said, listen, it's January. They're a championship team. Everybody, you know, take a deep breath and let's go about the business of continuing to get better. That's basically what Chris Paul said. But Harden, Capella, those guys basically took this as, you know, statement game, how much it meant, so on and so on. Golden State, you know, went through the motions as far as the press conferences, their post-game comments. Basically, it's a January game. We're going to move on to the next game, and let's, you know, keep it moving. Again, Houston is a team similar, you know, and I talk about culture, and I talk about, you know, they'll go as far as Harden and Paul takes them, which is the truth, which is the absolute truth. But again, when you're making that big a deal over a January game, that you won against a team that, you know, is superior to you, against a team that clearly, you know, Golden State, that game, you know, Golden State was bad yesterday and still could have won that game. They didn't play well at all. Forget about just the turnovers. Golden State just didn't play well. And, you know, again, if you're Houston, you have to understand, like, if Houston had won a championship or had any championship experience, they would already know this. But you have to know that is not the Golden State team that you're going to see. come playoff time, if you get a chance to see them during playoff time. That's not even close to go. This is a Golden State team that you will see. But there's another gear and another level that Golden State has. So, again, Houston did what it had to do, especially defensively, holding out Golden State 17 points in the fourth quarter. Golden State made a lot of mistakes, some sloppy play down the stretch with shot selection. You even heard Steph Curry talk about some pats, some reads that he missed, not getting the right guy to basketball in critical situations. So, again, I don't take – there's nothing I saw in that game that would even come close to convincing me that Golden State, that Houston could beat Golden State. Will the series be entertaining, high scoring? Yeah, sure. Sure it will. We'll, you know, get to see Harden and Chris Paul in the playoffs execute down the stretch and see how that dynamic works out. Yeah, that'll be intriguing to watch. But there's nothing that I saw in that game that would convince me, again, that Golden State will not be in the NBA Finals come June. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll get into the Final Four of the NFL. That and much, much more still to come. We have picks and that and much, much more coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Sunday as the last real Sunday of NFL football, with the, you know, doubleheader with multiple games, day night, basically the day evening doubleheader. Super Bowl is its own entity, its own event. A lot of just, you know, beyond the hype machine that goes along over the course of the next 2 weeks and even into that Sunday, as it will be played, of course, in Minnesota. Minnesota Vikings trying to be the first team to host and play in a Super Bowl in the same year. They've already become the first team to make it this far. We've had an opportunity to host the Super Bowl, as they are just, you know, again, 60 minutes away from that. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars trying to make their very first Super Bowl appearance ever. They had an opportunity back in 96. They lost to the Patriots. Then Bill Parcells, Drew Bledsoe-led New England Patriot team. And of course, that was Tom Coughlin, who was the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were in there for, you know, second year as a franchise. Of course, they came about in 19. That was their second or third year as a franchise. I want to say 95. Was their first year, so that was their second year as a franchise. Then the Carolina came along in the same year as the New NFL franchises, and you had, of course, Coughlin, Mark Brunell, guys like that, leading the, you know, Keenan McCardell, Jimmy Smith, guys that like that leading the charge for the then Jacksonville Jaguars, a little different kind of team. This version of Jacksonville has turned themselves into a running, defensive running led, you know, running game led team with a quarterback who probably is the least, might be the least most respected conference championship quarterback in recent memory in terms of Blake Bortles, a guy who we've seen at times over the course of the season not even look like an NFL quarterback at times, and we know what kind of athleticism he has. We know what kind of he has all the physical attributes to be a big time quarterback, but that is not computed to the mental side as Bortles, Bortles has turned into the guy that everybody loves to pick on and loves to talk about in terms of his performance. Played well against Pittsburgh last week, though. Made some big third down throws. Now, you can criticize Pittsburgh's defense, some of that, but the bottom line is Bortles did make some key third down throws in that game against Pittsburgh. And when you look at the New England-Jacksonville matchup, you know that New England is going to put Jacksonville in a position where Blake Bortles is going to have to make some plays. Because New England, we know what the Bill Belichick MO is, to take away what you do best, especially from an offensive standpoint. What Jacksonville does best is run the football. Leonard Fournette, I don't anticipate that Leonard Fournette will crack. I would be surprised if Leonard Fournette cracks 70 yards in this game. I said he will crack no more than 70 yards in this game. Jacksonville will force Blake Bortles to beat him. So Blake Bortles in this game is going to have to be nearly flawless, staying away from a big turnover. Keep the chains moving with converting some third downs, keeping Brady and that offense off the field, and keeping their defense fresh. But he cannot, again, they cannot expect to run the ball effectively against New England. This is not going to happen. New England will take the, and Belichick are going to take that aspect away from Jacksonville. You look at Jacksonville matching against New England's offense. I think Jacksonville actually matches up well against New England's offense, matches up much better than Pittsburgh would have. They have a natural pass rush. They can get to the quarterback with four down linemen. They don't have to blitz. They have athletic linebackers, and they have a tremendous secondary. They have all the pieces to give New England problems. Now, again, New England is a very patient offensive football team. New England is not a team that has to go, that counts on big plays to move the ball. They will go, New England will go 12 plays, 80 yards, 6 minutes if they have to. And I would expect New England in this game to see a lot of action from the running backs, whereas Deion Lewis and guys like James White, I would expect to see a lot of those running backs catching passes out of the backfield. They will go. I think New England is going to stay away from Jacksonville's secondary in regards to in terms of the outside. I think you'll see them doing a lot of short stuff to the running backs. Gronkowski over the middle with those seam passes that they like to throw, that Brady likes to throw to him. I think Jacksonville, you will see some Jalen Ramsey on Gronkowski. I don't think you'll see a heavy dose of that, but I think you will see some of that. But I think New England will take the strategy that they did against Denver earlier this season when they decided just to completely just stay away from the secondary and attack the linebackers, attack the defensive linemen with the short passes to the running backs and tight ends. I don't think you will see them challenge Jacksonville too much on the outside against that secondary. And they will, no question, again, they will. I'll be surprised if this is not a 30-35 carry game for the New England running backs. So, not to say that they're going to try to take the ball out of Brady's hands, but, you know, that's the one thing about Jacksonville that you can do against them, like that is you can run against them up the middle. Not to the perimeter. They're too fast, east to west. But north to south, you can run against Jacksonville. That is the one flaw of their defense. And I think you will see a 30 to 35 carry game out their running backs combined. Not box, because they don't have a guy, they don't have like a LeGarrette Blount. But, you know, again, they have, you know, two or three running backs that they like to get the ball to. So between Lewis, Burkhead, James White, you will see them again run a lot and try to take some of that pressure, try to neutralize that pass rush, that great pass rush of Jacksonville. Because it is a great position. Campbell can get to the quarterback. He is a tremendous pass rusher. He can get to the quarterback. And again, that matchup between the defensive line of Jacksonville versus the opposite line of New England, you have to favor that Jacksonville defensive line for that particular matchup. You have to favor that defensive line. (347) 215-6180 is your call number. 36 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. When we return, we'll talk more about the Philadelphia and Minnesota matchup that's coming up on this next edition of the Sherrod Oakland Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. On this championship edition of the Sherrod Oakland Sports Podcast Conference Championship Edition, as we look forward to two very good matchups, two matchups that, you know, before the season we really didn't see coming. I don't think anybody would have been surprised to see New England in this, but Jacksonville, Philadelphia certainly were teams, and Minnesota were teams that we did not expect to be in this position. A lot of people, of course, were high on Green Bay, the usual suspects, Green Bay, Seattle, even the Giants, and somewhat lesser like the Cowboys, as far as the NFC goes. Carolina, I thought we had the bounce back year and possibly get this far. But, you know, you have four teams, three of which, again, have never won a Super Bowl. You have, you know, a Jacksonville team that has never been to a Super Bowl. You have a Minnesota team that has had a tortured history as a franchise. And, you know, what transpired last week with that miraculous Stephon Diggs catch has Minnesota fans and the Viking Nation hoping or thinking that they are possibly the team of destiny, and hoping that they can become the first team ever to host a Super Bowl, which would be a major. Minnesota wins this game in Philadelphia to host the Super Bowl, to be able to stay home in your own beds for the better part of the next 2 weeks would be an enormous advantage, for that game. So that is Minnesota, again, has more to play for than normal. Than any normal team going to the conference championship. Minnesota goes into this game as 3-point favorites over a Philadelphia team that has played the underdog role, and rightfully so. Listen, they've been underdogs, and they have to be the only number one seed in the history of the NFL underdogs in both playoff games. No, I cannot remember. I mean, we've seen teams be an underdog, you know, in a conference championship game. I don't ever remember a team being the underdog in both the divisional playoff and the conference championship game when they're hosting it. Don't ever remember that happening. So they have a right to feel disrespected. They have a right to feel like, you know, to feel people are counting them out. Again, this matchup against Minnesota will be a defensive dictated game. The defenses, to me, are easily better than both offenses. Easily better. And it's going to come down, again, both teams will have the same strategy. Make the other guy's quarterback beat us. That's going to be the strategy of both teams. Because both teams are similar as far as they want to play to their defense. They have solid running games. Not great running attacks, but solid running games. They want to run the ball. Maybe take a couple shots down the field to loosen the defense up. But play to their strengths, and that is their running backs, their defense, and running games. Stay away from the big mistakes. Both teams basically could have the same strategy in regards to competing against each other. Again, two quarterbacks who were on the same team back in 2015 with the St. Louis with the then St. Louis Rams. Two guys who before the season in Case Keenum and Nick Foles, who if you would have told me that they were going to be playing on the like forget about playing in the conference championship, but that they were going to be starting for their respective teams over the course of the season, I would have told you, yeah, I would have took that bet in a heartbeat that either one of those guys would start a game for their respective teams. You know, Case Keenum, I mean, Mike Zimmer has gone out of his way. I'm not going to say to disrespect Case Keenum, but to, like, basically be as dismissive of a guy, of a quarterback as you possibly can. I mean, listen, Teddy Bridgewater was supposed to come back and play. That was going to be the plan. That Teddy Bridgewater was going to come back. This is when Bradford went down and was going to be. And it was. This is when after it was. And it was evident that Sam Bradford was not going to be a factor this season because of the injuries. Bridgewater would come in, get a couple weeks to, you know, get his sea legs under him, and eventually take over the team. That was the plan. Case Keenum playing and carrying him to the NFC, taking him to the NFC Championship, or being in his position was completely not the plan. That was not what was supposed to happen. So this is a guy in Case Keenum who has more than earned his way to this game. This is a guy who, you know, has basically come out of nowhere and finds himself 60 minutes away from appearing in the Super Bowl. Nick Foles, right place, right time, you know. Carson Wentz gets hurt, in comes Nick Foles. So these are two guys who, you know, play for similar teams, both defensive, both want to run the ball, both want to stay away from, both are very good at protecting the ball. But two different situations as far as how they got here to this conference championship game. Again, Philadelphia, you know, I think Philadelphia, similar to New England, will want to stay away from Minnesota's secondary. and challenging Xavier Rhodes and those guys. You want it, all right? I think Minnesota, that secondary is one. Sandejo will play. That secondary is very good. You want to make Minnesota's linebackers and those guys, you know, make some tackles and chase it. You know, Jaye coming out the backfield, some of their running backs catching passes. Zach Ertz will be a major player in this game. This is for Philadelphia to win. This has to be a Zach Ertz, one of these, you know, 7-catch, 80-yard, 1-touchdown type games for Zach Ertz. He will play a major role in this game. Because I don't think the Philadelphia wide receivers are going to be able to do anything with Minnesota secondary. I don't. I can see, you know, again, Philadelphia is going to want to try to run the ball, want to try to get some short stuff to the running backs and Ertz, and then occasionally, you know, take a couple shots down the field, which they should. Good weather, folks can throw a deep ball. So occasionally take some shots down the field, but for the most part, keep everything, you know, get some short stuff, a lot of short stuff with the running backs and with some of that, and keep the chains moving with Zach Ertz. If you're Minnesota, I am doing the polar opposite, and I am going, of course, I want to establish the running game to keep Philadelphia's pass rush off Keenum, but I'm going after Philadelphia secondary. I don't think the Philadelphia secondary is very good. I still think it is the weak part of their team. Jalen Mills, Malcolm Jenkins, those guys, I'm going after those guys. Thielen and Stephon Diggs could, if Keenum's on his game, those guys could have big games against that Philadelphia secondary. And again, if Keenum has time to throw the ball, it could be a big day for those Minnesota wide receivers, because I frankly don't think the Philadelphia secondary is that good. I think you can throw the ball against the secondary. I think the key for attacking Philadelphia's offense, to me, is neutralizing that pass rush. If you can neutralize, not so much shut down that pass rush, they're gonna get some pressure. They're not gonna shut down their pass rush. But if you can somewhat neutralize that pass rush, there are some plays to be made against Philadelphia secondary. There's no question. There's no two ways about it. That Philadelphia secondary is still, to me, now listen, it's not as bad as it was last year. It has improved somewhat, but it still can be attacked. You can still make plays against that secondary. And if I'm Minnesota, I'm going after Jalen Mills, I'm going after Malcolm Jenkins, I'm going after their secondary with Dalen and Diggs. Again, Diggs and Dalen can have opportunities to have big games against that secondary if Keenum has enough time to throw the ball. But again, both teams want to run the ball. That's evidence. Philadelphia wants to run the ball to protect his quarterback. Minnesota wants to run the ball in order to protect this quarterback. And again, you will see both teams. Minnesota and Philadelphia are patient with the running. These are both patient teams in regards to running the ball. They will not panic, even if they're not gaining yards with running the ball early. They will not panic and abandon the running game if this game, you know, if it's as expected, the game remains close within one score. So you'll see a situation where they run the ball, you know, both these teams might run the ball 30 times for like 80 yards. Don't be surprised to see that. Because both these teams will not panic about, both these teams trust their defense, trust their special teams. They will not get away from their running games or abandon their running games. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, I will have my picks for the conference championships that's coming up on this next podcast. We'll be right back.
week number 20 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. A Championship Sunday edition of my NFL picks. Just two games, of course, until we get to that last game of the year, 2 weeks away, Super Bowl 52, Minnesota. Game number one, New England hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. 7.5 is the line. That is a lot of respect for a Jacksonville team that hasn't been to a conference championship in over 20 years. That is a lot of respect for a Jacksonville Jaguar team who has Blake Bortles as their starting quarterback, as in comparisons to the Golden Boy, everybody's All-American Tom Brady. But you have a nicked-up Tom Brady, a Tom Brady with a cut on his hand, a Tom Brady who is 40 years old, a New England team who, not quite the team that they have been in the past couple of years in comparison to other Super Bowl caliber teams. But still, they're New England, and they're facing off against a upstart, a hungry, thirsty Jacksonville Jaguar defense that features players all pulled at every level, just about touching the secondary, deep to the line. This is a game that's going to come down to one thing and one thing only. Can Blake Bortles make enough plays? We know what New England wants to do, and that's take away their running game. We know what New England is going to do, and that's take away Jacksonville's running game and learn from that. Can Blake Bortles make enough plays? I don't think he can, but for whatever reason, I think Jacksonville will cover the spread. I will pick New England to win the game, but I'm taking Jacksonville with the points. New England 24, Jacksonville 20. I like Jacksonville's defense. I like the fact that they are not afraid. The weather is, 46 degrees in late January is, perfect for Jacksonville as far as, being a Florida warm weather team. No precipitation, no snow, no rain. Just, that should be ideal conditions for what they want to do. So, I like New England to advance to their second straight Super Bowl, their 10th overall. But it will not be as easy as one may think. Game number two, the nightcap. Philadelphia hosting the Minnesota Vikings. Destiny's Darlings. A Viking team that is looking to host a Super Bowl and looking to make history by becoming the first team to ever host a Super Bowl. Minnesota coming off the dramatic, miraculous win against the Saints last week. They are favored by 3 over Philadelphia. Philadelphia not, getting the respect that they feel like they deserve. Philadelphia being underdogs for a second straight week. The first time a number one seed has been underdogs in both the divisional and conference championship game. This is a Philadelphia team that has overcome a lot to get to this point. Overcome no Carson Wentz. They overcome really no great running game. They've overcome, a couple of injuries to find themselves 60 minutes away from Super Bowl 52. You look at this game, and again, there's no secret. It will come down to the quarterbacks. Which quarterback will be ready for prime time? Which quarterback out of these two journeyman quarterbacks, former ex-teammates, will step up when it counts the most? One of these guys is not going to play well. Okay? One of these guys is not going to play well. And when it comes to me, it comes out to a matter of who do you trust? Who do you trust in this spot? You have Case Keenum. Nick Foles. And I'm telling you, I'll be honest with you, if I was starting a team right now and I need a quarterback, and I might at the Washington Redskins event, I might need a quarterback, I would take Case Keenum. If I was starting a franchise, I would take Case Keenum. And he has more talent. You know, I think he's a better athlete. But when I saw this up close and personal when Minnesota played Washington this year, Case Keenum has a little Brett Favre in him. And that's not, in a game like this, that's not a great thing. He will make throws or try to attempt throws that he should not try to attempt. And what happens when that happens? You get turnovers. That throw against New Orleans last week at 17-7 was a throw that he should have just ate the ball and took the sack or threw the ball away. That was an awful throw that was picked off that really turns the game completely around. New Orleans gets a touchdown. Next thing you know, it's 17-14. He has a tendency to make throws like that and take too many chances when going conservative would be the right play. Nick Foles does not do that. Now, Case Keenum is more prone to make the big play. But in a game like this, it's not always about who can make more big plays. It's about who can make less. And with that being said, I trust Nick Foles not so much to make more plays, but not to make the key mistake that will be the difference in this game. Remember, this game, you have two defensive teams, two well-coached teams, two teams that want to run the ball. An interception, a misread on the pass, it's only going to take one mistake to be the difference in this game. I think Case Keenum will be more than likely to make that mistake. That's why I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles 20-17. I think this is a field goal game. I think this is a defensive dominated game, but something in me tells me that at the end of that around 10:30 tonight, we will have the Philadelphia Eagles again taking on the New England Patriots for the second time in the Super Bowl. So Philadelphia outright to upset the Minnesota Vikings, and Jacksonville with the points. I like New England to win the game. I like Jacksonville with the points. Those are my picks for week number 20. When no contract is guaranteed. Again, I think both these games will be very competitive. I'll be surprised. Now, again, if you're going to go with the game that could be a blowout, it would be New England, Jacksonville. Jacksonville, you know, young team, inexperienced, in a rough, tough environment. Brady gets hot, turnovers, you know, Bortles, you know, throws three picks. That could usually be 31-10, 31-14. So you wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think it will be closer than that. But the Philadelphia-Minnesota game, that game will be a closely contested game. There's no way that game is not a fourth quarter, one possession game. So, looking forward to the games. Enjoy your week. I will see you next time on the next edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. So long.